Today on Real Radio.
Do I know the truth? Is that truth in my life? Do I possess it? That's our challenge. That's our heart check. Okay? And do I live it? Meaning, how about this? Is it your desire to live for God?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. In the first two verses of chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes that the believer is not to lose heart, and also never is to change or tamper with God's written word. It's a lesson in accepting whatever our good Lord puts in our path. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson simply called Heart Check.
The Bible does that. We are to be merciful, gracious, and kind. Listen, I'm not saying don't read me wrong. Don't say tolerant and turn a blind eye to someone living in a terrible life, sin setting where they're destroying their lives. If your son's doing drugs, you don't say, well, I'm a tolerant person. It's okay, you know, I'll pray for him. You can use all the Christian-y stuff and all the Bible stuff you want. If your son is doing drugs, for example, and you think you are tolerant by letting them continue that? You don't even know. You're patting him on the back as he kills himself. Love reaches in. Why? Because it's merciful. You love someone you cannot tolerate. You're not judging them. You're not condemning them. You love them and you're going after them. God would have us, because we've experienced mercy, to go after this world and show them mercy. Look, church, the world doesn't see any mercy anymore. This is a great hour to be a Christian. Oh, it's so dark. It's so wicked out there. It's so perfect for us who are Christians. It's time to shine. Do we understand that? In Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Here's the punchline. Freely you have received, freely give. Oh, that's awesome. Paul had an amazing attitude about ministry, the Christian life, that is, and about serving others. Paul saw everything he did in response to the goodness of God in his life. Paul didn't do what he did because, well, I saw a bright light on the Damascus Road. It scared me. And, you know, everybody's expecting some great stuff to come out of me, so I guess I better do something great. And I was called an apostle, so I got to live up to that. That's wrong, and that's not his heart. Well, I guess I shouldn't go do that LSD today. I'm a Christian. Well, I guess I shouldn't sleep with her. I'm a Christian. My dear friend, if that's where your heart is, you will eventually fall to those very things, because your whole understanding of that is skewed and goofy. You see, if you experience the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal relationship with Him, it won't be like that. Oh, we can't do that. We're Christians. What does that imply? Well, if we weren't Christians, we'd go do it. And if you understood, you wouldn't want it. Jesus said, freely you've received. Freely give it. God shows us mercy, and then we're going to, what, turn around and sell it to somebody? Scalpers, Christian scalpers. Nope, not going to happen. We are to be showing. And you think, you look inside your own heart right now, you do a heart check and ask yourself, is there something of God boiling up inside of me? I mean that in a good way. It's percolating, that's got to come out. Listen, I don't want to go too far off the thing right now, but I think it's justifiable. A lot of talk these days, although it's diminishing, they're running out of steam now, the movement of social justice. You don't hear much about it anymore. I mean, you heard a lot about it for a while. Social justice. See, Pastor, are you saying that you're not for social justice? I am not for social justice as this world defines it. No, no. I am for social grace and mercy as God puts it. Big difference. The reason why the world talks about social justice, in my opinion, is because the church has been sleeping at the wheel. We should be putting the social justice movement to shame. The social justice movement should not be feeding the homeless. The church should be. The social justice movement should not be championing, for example, civil rights. The church should be. Do you hear me? I'm not asking you to agree. I don't care. I'm right on this. Why? I know I'm right on this because it's a biblical deal. Jesus said, freely you've received, go give it. And because it's not happening, in a sense, globally, the world understands something good, and they get up and they go do it. We've got the one and only true reason why we should do it. And we often sleep at the wheel. It's an amazing thing. Number two, point two today, second point is a heart check. Verse two is the motive. Not only the experience, but the motive. The motive. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2 says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. This is technically a response, by the way, of those who were attacking Paul. He was refuting their attack on him, that he was a charlatan, that Paul was adulterating the gospel. Paul was saying you can be saved by just trusting in Jesus. They mocked the gospel. They were called the Judaizers. And listen, if there was ever a secret weapon that the Apostle Paul had, and by the way, it's available to us, please listen, it is this. It's verse 2. The power of being able, church, listen, this is key. The power to be able to say, we have renounced the hidden things of shame. I honestly don't know how far I'm going to go in the rest of this message right now with time permitting because of the magnitude of that statement right now. I believe there are a lot of potentially great Christian men and women. I say potentially great because they're Christians, but they are bound and tied by the lust or by the dangers or by the things of this world that keep them pulled down. And they're ashamed. They're ashamed because there's shame in their lives. And the greater shame is most often the things that are the most secret and dark, right? And I'm not here to point you out. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to scold you. I wouldn't do that. What I am here to tell you about is, guess what? By the power of that indwelling Holy Spirit, those things can be shattered in your life. What is it that holds you down? What is it that you're addicted to? What is it that binds you up? What is it of your past or your present? And the fear that it may be your future that keeps you choked. God breaks all that. He loves doing it. And Paul's great secret weapon was that he saw that whatever was in his life before has been completely obliterated. You say, yeah, I'd like to know how he did that. I'll give you one guess. He let God do it in his life. He let him do it. He didn't reform himself. He yielded to the reformer. Note this, transformation. Verse 2 teaches us about a transformation. The heart check motive is there a transformation that's gone on in our lives? But we have. Can you circle the word have? See, what's so important about that? It's important. It means it's history. We have a history. It's no longer the present. What is it? We've renounced the hidden things of shame. We've been transformed. We've got different desires now. We've got different longings. What does that mean? It means this. This is fun. Watch this. It means that Paul the Apostle refused himself, denied himself, would not allow himself to go to those places in his mind, in his feet, in his hands. He renounced the things of his past. Now, what's amazing about Paul is that he wouldn't allow himself to do the things of the past. What was it for Paul? I think it's pretty clear that what we see in Scripture regarding Paul is that he did not go back to the ways of the law. See, you might have been thinking, you mean He renounced from going to Joe's Bar and Grill to get a beer with his falafel. Nope, I don't think so. For I think Paul's big temptation was to go legal, real quick. I think Paul's temptation was to gravitate back to the performance of the law, to just be good enough, to just live your life straight enough, and God will be happy. I think that was Paul's temptation. That's where he came from, legalism. And he says, I've renounced those things. What is it in your life? Listen, I know what it is in my life. Have you been transformed? If you have, then you've got an answer to this question. What is it in your life that the power of God has announced to you that this thing is of your past? It's no more. It's the old, whatever your name is. It's the old Jack. It's amazing. Transformed. Very quickly, the word renounced means stay off, push away from, to ward off, to resist, to deny, to disavow. The word hidden here means that which is concealed, something that is held in the dark, kept in private, away from the sun. The word shame here in the original language means something that causes embarrassment. Wow, that strikes straight to the heart, does it not? Something that causes embarrassment. So stop. Do a heart check. Is there something in your life and in my life that if all were to know, listen, if all were to know about this thing in my life, I would be embarrassed of it. Boy, this is heart surgery, is it not? We're Christians. Is there something in your life, something in my life that I'm afraid that you might know about? Is there something in your life, Christian, that you're afraid that others around you may know, may find out about? Paul says, listen, take it by the power of the Holy Spirit and renounce those things. Kind of sounds like rededicating your life a little bit, doesn't it? Are you guys okay? Is it my hearing? Maybe something's wrong with me. It's so quiet up here. Have we renounced these things? I'm not talking about the obvious things which are in Galatians. This is your homework if you want. Pastor Jack, what should I renounce? I'm kind of drawing a blank. Well, you won't for long. Homework is Galatians 5, Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians 6, Revelation 22. Galatians 5, Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians 6, Revelation 22. Look at those things. Read them slowly. Look at them. And you might say, oh, I don't do any of those things. But do you want to, or did you want to? Think about that. But it doesn't have to be that. It could be such subtle, acceptable sins, things that would mess us up. Again, I'm not saying this to bum you out. I'm saying let's check our hearts. Man. The second thing is in verse 2 is the motive, is there reverence? And I had to be careful about that word. I had to put reverence in there. Here's the reason why. In your Bibles, how many times have you read in your Bible where it says, fear the Lord? You read that in your Bible, right? The word means to be in reverence of God. God doesn't want you to fear him like scared of him. The word actually means reverence. Do a heart check. Check your motive. Is there true transformation in your life? And is there a reverence for God in your life? A reverence for God. What answers that? Well, it's in 2 Corinthians 4, 2, where he says we don't walk in craftiness anymore. We don't need to belabor this. It simply means this. Watch this, everybody. It means to take the Christian life and to adopt it with your own motive. I'm going to take it. Watch. I'm going to take it because the girl I'm dating is a Christian. I'm going to adopt a Christian life because the guy that I'm interested in is a Christian, you see? Oh, I'm going to get a Bible because everybody owns a Bible. I should own a Bible. You hear what I'm saying? And it just progresses or descends worse to this point. The context is this. Paul says, some of the things that we've renounced even includes doing ministry with the wrong heart and the wrong motive For what? To gain something for self. That's what it means. You've heard in the Bible over and over again that there are those who preach the word of God for gain. There are those who do all these things so that they may be seen by men. Are you with me? Paul is warning that as believers, we have renounced these things and we're no longer walking in craftiness. That is, we're not walking this walk of faith to obtain, listen, our agenda, our status, income. And why do I bring that up? This is exactly Paul's answer in our culture today. I wish you could hear the things I hear. It actually, the guys don't realize it, how much this offends me anyway. Hey, Pastor, I'm not joking. Are you ready for this? Hey, Pastor, hey, I just need you to tell me how to get into the ministry. I want to be a pastor. Okay, that's awesome. The Bible says that's a tremendous thing. What brings this up in your life? I hear this. I've heard this ever since 2008, and it's increasing. Well, you know what, man? I haven't been able to get a job for 20 months, man. I can't get a job. Nobody's hiring. I'm tired of sitting around, and I've just been thinking, I want the ministry. For what reason? Man, I got bills to pay. I'm dead serious. Are they sincere? Oh, they're sincere. Are they wrong? 100%. That's a word for craftiness. The word also implies that we speak Jesus in such a way to get your eyes upon us. That's craftiness. That's deceit. That's wrong. The third thing in this is authenticity, the motive. Are we authentic? Is there authenticity in our lives? Nor handling the word of God deceitfully. That is using the word of God, the Bible, to pad your own life, to exalt yourself. John the Baptist said it perfectly in John 3, 29 and 30. You guys know this. John the Baptist, amazing man of God, the last prophet of the Old Testament, John the Baptist. Did you know that? John the Baptist was the last prophet of the Old Testament era. What was John's words? He, Jesus, must increase. I, what'd he say? Must decrease. Isn't that awesome? Jesus is exalted. I am diminished. My earthly life is all about Jesus Christ, his name being exalted, his reputation exalted, his word exalted, his plan for my life exalted. That's why the Bible says, and all that you do, do to the glory of God. Exalt him. And listen, church, it's really, really what you want to do. Don't sit here today and say, well, I'm a Christian, but there's areas of my life I'm just not going to let God into. Listen, you're hurting yourself. Let him have it. Yeah. By the way, let me encourage you. He can take it anytime he wants. He's not going to ask. He doesn't have to ask. He's the creator. But I've got my rights. You have, I have none. Well, God's going to ask our permission, right? Before he, like, does something, right? What book are you reading? Is somebody in your life sick? Are you sick? Did God ask you? The stuff that God is doing in my life privately, did he ask me? Did he say, hey, Jack, I've got a plan. I want to use you more like this in the future, but I can't use you that way unless I do this. And my thought is, well, why can't you do that neat part in the future without having to do this? Because you'll never make it to that part right if I don't do this. Yeah, but can't you fudge? Come on. You're God. Just give me a hall pass, something. Do you know what I'm talking about? He doesn't need it. I need it. So watch this. Do you really want to walk with God? Yes, I do. Do you really love me? Yes, I do. Do you want God to use you? Yes. All right. Go that way. Well, it's dark over there. Yep, go that way. I can't hear anything over there. Just keep going. I can't see anything over there. And then, well, here's what happens after a while. He encourages you to go. I'm answering your prayer, so go. Okay, but it's dark. And then he goes, you know, it's okay. And then you might counter with a second thing. I'm a little nervous. And he'll say, like, oh, I'm with you. It's all right. And then the next question you ask, he doesn't answer. He doesn't say anything. So I want God to use me big time. You know what? That will never happen unless you're devastated. He alone is exalted. And when God does those great things, you're humbled enough to make sure that you reflect all the glory back unto God when it happens. Are you willing? That's what he requires. And he will not ask you for permission. He simply says, do you trust me enough? I will not put you through something that with me you are unable to bear. You got to remember that. I have to remember that. You have to remind me of that. Okay? And I'll do the same for you. And then finally, look at this. The heart check is third point is the truth. Heart check yourself, my friend, regarding the truth. He says, but by manifestation of the truth, that is the going forth of the gospel and the experience of it, this is the result. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What does that mean? It's awesome. Paul says this, church, I know the gospel. I know the God of the gospel. I know what he's done in my life. I've experienced him. So that in such a way, what I do for his glory. I'm living for God. And because of that, being rooted and grounded in the truth, my conscience, Paul is saying, is clear before all men. Because my life is laid out naked and open before God. The absolute truth is not in a book. It's in the book that's now in the heart. The question is the challenge, and we end, truly we do here. Do you possess that truth? Do you possess it? Secondly, do you live it? Do I live it? Why is it important? Because the Bible tells us, in fact, last verse, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2. Do I know the truth? Is that truth in my life? Do I possess it? That's our challenge. That's our heart check. Okay? And do I live it? Meaning, how about this? Is it your desire to live for God? Okay, watch. 2 Corinthians 6, 1. When it talks about this kind of ministry, we end with this. We then, says Paul to the Corinthians, as workers together with him, that's Jesus, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Don't ignore this. For he says, quote in the Old Testament, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Wow.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Heart Check, taken from the first two verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Heart Check, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, remember the Engage conference, which we held back in July? It was mostly in response to the decision by the U.S. Supreme Court on what many folks call same-sex marriage and how true believers are to handle the situation in our day and culture. Well, a lot of folks who were unable to attend have gotten in touch and asked about the audio of the Engage conference. Now, if you were unable to attend, yet you wanted to, here's some good news. You can purchase the audio of the entire conference on a USB drive. Just visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and we've made it real easy for you to take it from there. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.